Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's fourth down and eight. End zone incomplete. And what a job by this Lions defense.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM network. Make it legendary.
Joe Buck with the call last night, Monday Night Football on ESPN and ABC. Still can't believe the Lions defense balled out like that, holding down Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers offense to just 9 points. So week seven, now in the rearview mirror. And as we, and I, assess the balance of power in the NFC, it's a little tricky. The AFC, not as tricky. The AFC, to me, is like college football right now. Ohio State, draw a line. And then we can have a conversation from there. In the AFC, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, and draw a line. The NFC is way more fascinating to try and handicap and figure out. For me, there are four horsemen of the apocalypse in the National Football Conference. They're drawing nearer on leather steeds they ride, and they've come to take your life. Shout out to all the Metallica fans out there. Those four teams for me, the two NFC North squads, Chicago and Minnesota, just kidding, Detroit and Green Bay, the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, and Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. Conspicuous by their absence, and because it's the four horsemen, it's not the five horsemen. Like when Ric Flair put up the hand gesture, it was four, it was not five. There's only four horsemen. Conspicuous by their absence, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you, our audience, unless this is your first show, thank you very much for tuning in. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. The audience, you know that I felt this way all season long, and last week. I don't have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that group of legitimate Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. I don't. And I think the Bucs are going to the playoffs. I think that they are by far the most likely team to win the NFC South, and I know the record's not that much better than Atlanta's, but you can't trust the Falcons on a week-in, week-out basis. Like, at least you, by and large, know what you're getting from Tampa every single week. The Atlanta Falcons could look like the Chiefs one game and the Titans the next. How can you trust a team like that? How can you trust a team that looks awesome on Monday night and beats the Buffalo Bills and then goes on the road at a Niners team down its best new defensive players and they only score 10 points in the game and they look terrible in doing so? I don't trust the Falcons at all. So I think Tampa is going to be a playoff team this year. This is not an anti-Bucks sentiment by me. The main reason why, I don't trust Tampa the way I trust Detroit, Green Bay, the Rams, and the Eagles. Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield. Baker had a tremendous moment in the sun. Basically, like the first 7 weeks of the season was his moment. And I don't. This is not even meant to be anti-Baker. I think Baker's really good. But this idea that Baker Mayfield was going to win MVP was ridiculous. And we said as much on the show. Like, awesome. Tampa entered last night with 5 wins. One of them was like an actual legitimate, like, no doubt victory. Last week against San Francisco in a game where Fred Warner's lost for the year. And the backup quarterback's playing and there's no wide receivers for San Francisco. And they won by 11. Great. The other 4 wins are all knife-edge wins that could have easily gone the other way. And that's not to say that Tampa didn't deserve to win those games. But if, like, that's your MO, and, like, that's the way that you're going to play, and it's just going to come down to the end, and you hope that Baker hits a Mech Egbuka on, like, a ridiculous post pattern to win the game every single game, like, there are going to be games where it doesn't happen. And they're not going to be the one seed in the NFC, because they're not as good as these teams. And if you're not the one seed, your quarterback's not winning MVP. I never felt that Baker was going to win MVP. Never felt it. And I certainly am emboldened in that take after what we saw last night from Baker Mayfield. And let's call a spade a spade. He was terrible last night. Terrible. Regardless of how the Lions' defense played, and Aiden Hutchinson treating Tristan Wirfs like a human turnstile, which happened at points last night, regardless of that, Baker Mayfield did not play well. By far, his worst game of the season, one of his worst games in 2+ years quarterback in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was dreadful. There's no way around it. And I'm not here to even hear an argument to the contrary as it concerns Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker is not as bad as he was last night. And to be fair to Baker, Baker's bad is not like Nathan Peterman bad. Or like Geno Smith bad. It's not that. But it falls short of where people kind of think Baker Mayfield is. I don't think he's on that level. He's not as bad overall as he was last night. By and large, he will be better than that. But my problem with the Bucs is while I acknowledge that Baker's better than he was last night, I also think he's not as good as he was at the beginning of the season. And I can be wrong, and that's what's fun about this, right? You're out there listening. You're out there watching. You're consuming the product. Maybe you think I'm an idiot. And Baker gonna ball out the rest of the year. You may be right. I may be crazy. We'll see. I don't see it with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as far as being a Super Bowl contender goes. Upside for this team, the absolute ceiling. For the and how about this? I actually want everybody to take a beat, including our show crew. I want everybody to answer this question in your heads. What is the ceiling for the 2025 Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The best case scenario. Things break their way. Injuries are good. What's the best case scenario? My answer, lose on conference championship Sunday. Best case scenario. Best case scenario. Lose on championship Sunday. And more likely, lose in the divisional round. I'm just trying to be fair by saying maybe something weird happens and they make it to the championship game. I don't think they ever make it out of the NFC. Not trying to be a hater. That's my opinion. And I don't think that the Falcons will catch them in the division, so I think they'll host a home playoff game. But man, I don't think they're beating Philly. I don't think they're beating Detroit. I don't think they're beating Green Bay, and I don't think they're beating Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. You better you bet on this Tuesday. The second Monday night game. Man, I wish I could get those 3 hours back. Thinking about the fun things I could have been doing. Like playing Ghost of Yotai on PlayStation 5. Yeah, the game rules. But instead, I'm watching CJ Stroud. Like, you remember back at, do you remember? Like the quarterback competitions at the old Pro Bowls. And the quarterbacks had to like throw the ball at moving targets and stuff was pretty cool, right? They made a video game about Quarterback Club back in the day for like Super Nintendo. CJ Stroud last night. This was like Quarterback Club. This was like a mini game at the Pro Bowl or like a Madden mini game where your job was not to hit the target, but to miss it in every conceivable way. Lawn dart thrown at the receiver's feet? Check. Miss to the left? Check. Miss to the right? Check. Miss high? Check. Miss high center? Check. Miss high left? Check. Miss high right? Check. Throw the ball to the other team? Check. Fumble the ball? Check. Nearly take a safety? Check. You got the full bingo card last night from CJ Stroud. Terrible, terrible football game. And while I felt compelled to start the Lions-Bucks breakdown with the winner, with the Detroit Lions, we absolutely need to discuss here the loser of last night's game first in the Houston Texans, as Seattle wins 27-18. I said yesterday in the final hour of the show, when we're breaking down the game, we're handicapping the games, right? And kind of like what's at stake for both teams. And the reason why I liked Seattle, and look, it's not like I put $1 billion on it. Like, I won some money on it. It's not like I felt that strongly in it that I put the mortgage on it. But I like Seattle in the game. What I said was, okay, Texans, 2-game winning streak. Who'd they beat? The injury-depleted Ravens, who, you may remember, I said going into that game, were the worst team in the NFL. With every single good player on the roster basically not playing, and Cooper Rush starting at quarterback. So great. They beat the Tennessee Titans, and then they beat the actual Tennessee Titans the next week to get to win 2 straight games going into the bye. I was like, oh, well, the Texans have turned it around. Did they? Or is there... I'm going to say something strong here, and I want anyone to dispute it. And I guess the way you could dispute it would be like the Raiders, and there's a case to be made there, to be fair. Name a worse offensive line in the NFL than the Texans. The only one that you could say with a straight face is the Raiders. That's it. And honestly, I think the Texans' offensive line is worse. Tell me where outside of Nico Collins, where is the juice coming from anyone in the skill position group? When your most effective play all night are dump-offs to Dalton Schultz. And by the way, like, the Cowboys lose Dalton Schultz, and Jake Ferguson steps in, and Ferguson's 10 times better than Dalton Schultz ever was. Just like, hilarious. Let's sign this guy to a deal. And Jake Ferguson's 10 times better. Where's the juice coming from in this Texans receiving group or running back room? Where's it coming from?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember what we said over the summer, talking about the Texans, favored to win the AFC South. Now, I backed the wrong horse, it looks like. I backed Jacksonville. Probably should have backed the Indianapolis Colts. But the crux of the handicap for Jacksonville wasn't even that I loved the Jaguars. It's that I hated the Houston Texans. No weapons on offense outside of Nico Collins. And that may be the worst offensive line in the league. Like, the offensive line last year might have been the worst offensive line in the league. And their response to that was to get rid of the good players on the offensive line and sign all new and draft all new players. What a surprise. It's worse. It's worse. The thing that is genuinely surprising, though, about the Texans' offense, which I thought would be bad, you would have no idea they changed offensive coordinators. From the clueless, hapless, overmatched Bobby Slowick to a guy who is a disgrace to my first name, Nick Cayley. This is like Usher says in Confessions Part 1. Everything that they are doing is all bad. Everything's bad. All of it. They can't run block. They can't pass block. The play caller stinks. They can't run, and they can't throw. Other than that, yeah, they're the greatest show on turf. And the part of this that's truly mind-numbing. Do the Texans have the best defense in the league? And if it's not the best, top three, top five, top five, top five, and they can do nothing on offense when you have a defense that good. They can't even be on offense. Think about how good that defense is. If I told you that the offense was going to be below average this year, 20 out of 32, they're winning 9 or 10 games, right? With the defense being that good. This Texans offense is a disgrace. It's not fun to, like, the Raiders you can watch and you can, like, laugh at them a little bit. Like, the Texans, like, you're not laughing. You're crying. It's horrible. And the quarterback looks like he's regressing. And that is a huge topic for conversation. It's like the chicken or the egg. Is it that the line stinks and the play calling stinks and the weapons stink? Or is it that the quarterback is actually not that good? We'll talk about it on the other side. We will praise the Seattle Seahawks. And Femi will join me for a postmortem of our Seattle Mariners.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.